In today's gospel, Christ proclaims that he is the bread of life come down from heaven. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What signs can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hilaire Belloc was a prolific Catholic author in Europe in the 1940s, 1950s. He was born in the late 1800s and died in 1953. His father was French, his mother was British. A very prolific author. One of the lines he's most remembered for is this. He wrote, "Wherever the Catholic sun does shine, our laughter, music, and good red wine. Wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, our laughter, music, and good red wine." What did he mean by that? I think that what he meant was that we Catholics should enjoy life. We should recognize all the good gifts God has given to us in creation. Make use of them, enjoy them, share them, yes, make sure others have enough, but we should enjoy all of God's good gifts. We are not Puritans. Remember the Pilgrims? The Pilgrims were Puritans. And remember how we saw how they dressed and how they lived, very strict. The reason for that was that the Puritans were a little bit suspicious of the world. The world was filled with all kinds of things that might lead you into sin. So you had to avoid all of those things, all of those temptations. But that's not a Catholic vision. Catholic vision is that the world is good. What does God say at the end of the creation account in the book of Genesis? God looked and saw all that he had made, and he found everything very good. So the world is good. It's meant for our enjoyment. It's meant to be lived and enjoyed fully. Now, that doesn't mean we don't know of penance. We don't know of sacrifice and mortification. Yes, we do, because we can sin. But overall, life is to be lived fully and enjoyed, and the world is God's good creation. Wherever the Catholic sun does shine, our laughter, music, and good red wine. Having said that, though, Christ reminds us of something in the scripture today that's very important. He reminds us that as good as all of the world is and all of God's creation is, and as much as we should enjoy it, we have to be careful not to put our hope there. Because as good as it all is, he reminds us today that it all is passing. This world is passing, fleeting. It will all pass away. So as much as we enjoy it and as much as we're meant to enjoy it, we don't put all our hope here because it is fleeting and passing. Just think for a minute about the things that we enjoy in life, and rightly so. It's good that we do. I mean, think, for example, about something like your house, your home. I bet when you bought your home, or at least a home, you wanted this to be your dream house. You spent a lot of energy, time, money perhaps, making it the way you wanted it to be. And you enjoyed it and are enjoying it. That's wonderful. But, you know, isn't it true that after a few years, you got to replace the roof? Then the furnace needs to be replaced. And then, you know, you've got to repaint it or re-side it. And maybe the grass isn't growing as nicely as it used to. And then at some point, for many of you anyway, the house gets to be too big. The kids grow up, move out. House is too big, you sell it. Your dream house, passing, gone. Or think about the food we enjoy. Last night, you might have had a nice meal, planned for it all week long, and you really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the flavor, the taste, the drink. Good. It's God's good creation. But what happened about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock last night? It was all gone. It was just a memory. Much as you enjoyed it, it was a memory. It was past. It was gone. Or think about your favorite piece of clothing, whatever it is. Shirt, pair of pants, skirt, sweater. Feels good on us, looks good on us. We like it. A couple of years from now, what's happened? It's faded, it's frayed. Doesn't fit maybe the same way anymore. It's a thing of the past. Fleeting. Or think about things that are not so, maybe so much material things. You do a good job. You get all kinds of praise and affirmation. Now, praise and affirmation is something we need maybe more than we need material things. And we really, when we get praise and affirmation, we rejoice. And it's good. But after a couple of months, it all fades, doesn't it? The memory of it fades. And maybe you don't get as much a couple months down the road. Fleeting. Or think about even the thing that's most important to us, our relationships, our family, our friends, our spouses, our children. You know, when we love somebody and we're loved back in return, we're told that we experience something of God in that love. So those relationships are the most important thing of all. But even there, isn't it true that in the best relationship, there are disappointments? There are times when you go through a dry period of life. There are differences of vision, differences of opinion sometimes. Sometimes you lose a friend. And then no matter how good the marriage relationship is, at some point, one of the spouses will die. Even our relationships, important as they are passing and fleeting. You know, in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, one of the Psalms, the psalmist writes this: our life is like a sigh. our life is like a sigh. Life is gone. Fleeting. So what's Jesus saying to us today? He says, don't search, put your hope on the food that perishes. All of those things I've talked about, food that perishes, good to be enjoyed, yes, but it ultimately is fleeting and perishes. Jesus says, put your hope ultimately in me. I am the bread that doesn't perish. The only thing that will last is you and me. All the other things will pass. Don't neglect me and the bread that I bring you. What does that mean for us? Are we developing our relationship with the Lord? Do we see that the Lord is the heavenly bread that endures forever, and all other things, good as they are, perish? Do we understand that? What's that mean for us? Let me conclude with a little story you might have heard before. I heard it, I guess, a couple of years ago, but I heard it again recently, and I thought it was apropos of today's gospel. Story about this elderly man who ate in the same little neighborhood restaurant every day for lunch. He'd go in and he'd always order the soup special. Whatever the soup special was, he would order. And one day, and the owner, of course, recognized him and knew he was a good customer. So one day on the way out, he said to the man, "How was your meal today?" The man said, "We know it was very, very good, but you know, you only give 2 pieces of bread. You really should give more bread." So the next day, when he comes in again, the owner says to the waitress, he wants to please him, he says, give him 3 pieces of bread today. So on the way out, how was your soup today? It was excellent. But you know, you only give 3 pieces of bread. You really should give more bread. Next day, he says to the waitress, give him 4 pieces of bread. How was your soup today? Very, very good as usual, but you know, you just don't give enough bread. You know, you only gave 4 pieces of bread. So the next day, the owner says, look, give him today 8 pieces of bread. I'm going to have bread coming out his ears. Give him 8 pieces of bread. How was your soup today? It was really excellent as usual, but you know, you really don't give enough bread. So finally, the owner of the restaurant says, I got to do something to, you know, to put an end to this once and for all. So the next day, before he goes in to open up his restaurant, he goes out to a local bakery. He buys one of those big, huge, you know, long Vienna loaves of bread, French loaves, whatever you want to call them, 4 or 5 feet, you know, long. Brings it back to the restaurant, cuts it in half, butters it on both sides, puts it aside. The man comes in, gets his soup. He brings over the 2 halves of this loaf and puts it down in front of him and watches him. The man eats it all up. On the way out, he said, well, now today, how was your meal today? And the man looks at him and says, it was very good, but I see you've gone back to only serving 2 pieces of bread. But you see the point. See the point. Nothing in this world ultimately endures or satisfies us. We enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy it. But nothing in this world will endure. It all passes away. St. Augustine said it beautifully. He wrote, O Lord, you have made our hearts for you, and they will not rest until they rest in you. The world is good. We enjoy it. We thank God for it. We share as best we can. But it is passing away. The only bread that lasts forever is Christ himself. May God bless you.